is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, the cup to the sky is beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, we're going to continue our great series, The Rapture Controversy. Why do I call it great? Not because I'm the speaker, the presenter of the message, but because the Bible is great in that Jesus himself said that he was going. He told the disciples that he is going on to heaven to be with the Father, but someday he would lift us up and we would go to be with him. And so we would be with him forever. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Friends, I'm telling you, I love those old hymns that talk about the mansions up in heaven and the golden streets. Those things are true. It has to be beyond our even the possibility of us imagining it in its grandeur and glory and majesty. I can't wait to go there. Of course, some of my enemies would like to send me there a little sooner than God would like me to be up there with him. So I think I'm going to wait until God calls me. And then I'm going to go with great glee, my friends. How do I know that I'm going? I mean, there are many people say, well, isn't that a little bit impetuous of you to say you're going to heaven? Do you think you're that good? Oh, I've never said I was that good. I know I'm a flawed man, but I tell you one thing, God has forgiven me. And, you know, in 1 John it says that he, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all our sins. You know, the Bible says, the Old Testament says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Jesus has redeemed Tex Mars. He can redeem you too. And you say, well, I'm such a bad person, he couldn't possibly redeem me. Well, don't insult Jesus, friends. If he said he could do it, he can do it. And the fact that you're down in the mud and the mire in your sins and you're wallowing there doesn't mean you have to stay there. And it doesn't mean that Jesus cannot clean you up. He created this entire world. John the Baptist said that he could literally create disciples out of rocks. Well, you're maybe a little bit higher than a rock, aren't you? Some people don't think so, but they think that I'm nothing but a worm. Well, God can make even worms into beautiful creatures. You know, many years ago they say that some Christians began to adopt the butterfly as a Christian symbol. Never really caught on, but it might be very apropos. Think about it. At first, you see this furry, ugly old caterpillar creature. Doesn't look pretty at all. Ooh, looks just crummy. Ooh, who'd want to be a caterpillar? But it goes into a little cocoon and stays for a while, and then it comes out in all of its majesty. And friends, there's probably not anything more beautiful in God's kingdom than some of the fantastically gorgeous butterflies he's created. Multicolor. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thing to see butterflies in flight? Or when they alight on a flower? But they've stayed for a while, that cocoon. I wonder if sometimes that's what will happen to us. We die. But that's not the end. Because there's a metamorphosis that takes place. A change. And we receive our immortal bodies. I'm waiting for that day. Do you have arthritis today? Maybe Alzheimer's. Maybe cancer. maybe diabetes, heart trouble. You say, I don't know how much longer I'm going to last. I get friends of the ministry that write to me, tell me of those terrible situations. But I'm here to assure you, someday you'll have a body without any blemish. Someday your body will be perfect. And we don't even know what form it will be. Paul said we don't know what it will be, but we know it will be like Him. God is spirit. Perhaps then it'll be some type of spirit body. I don't think at all you're going to have those aches and pains and diseases. There won't be any viruses, any sicknesses in heaven. Something to look forward to, isn't it? And all this has to do with the rapture. We know the rapture is not a word found in Scripture. Don't look for it in Strong's Concordance. But I know this much. The Bible says that we will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord when the trumpet sounds. Now, I've told you before, I just love to argue and dicker with you and just bargain and negotiate and everything else about the timing of the rapture. Are you pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib? I don't know what you are, but you know what? If you believe in the cross of Jesus, if you're saved by Him, I'm not going to fault you for your belief on the rapture. Now, I have my belief, and I use Scripture to back it up. If you've got different Scripture than that, then send it on to me. I'll listen to it. But I've already looked at all the Scriptures that people have sent me for years and years, and I've read all the books on prophecy and the rapture. And I've made up my mind. But again, you know, I'll look at what you say. I'll just be kind to you. But I already know what the Bible says. You can't change the Scriptures. And it's not of any private interpretation, the Apostle Peter said. Now, we're going to continue with our series on the rapture controversy. First of all, you can write that letter complaining to me. Or you might say, you know, Tex, I've been listening to this series on the rapture, and you're absolutely right. Boy, now that would be the kind of letter I'd like to receive. I like to receive. Attaboy. Go get 'em, Tiger. Good job, Tex. I told you before, that's what I really want to hear when I get to heaven. Jesus Christ saying, well done. But if you want to say it before I go to heaven, well, you can write me and let me know that. I'd appreciate that. But you know, I'm going to be your friend no matter what. Somebody recently wrote something on a web page about me, and I mean to tell you, they called me everything in the book. It was only about four paragraphs long, but this guy on his web page, supposedly a Christian, he called me a Looney Tunes, a wacko, a conspiracy nut, crazy, anti-Semite, hater. I mean, he had so many adjectives for me. I mean, he must have had a little book of adjectives, you know, like a Rudgett's thesaurus, and he was just calling them out of there and writing them about me. And I read them over the air on my Power Prophecy radio program. Some people probably say, oh, you wouldn't say all those bad things about yourself. Well, I didn't say them. The guy did. But I read them, and I said, look what he says about me. And I read them all. And then when I finished, I said, I love it. I love it. I love it when people say those things about me. When they say I'm ridiculous and crazy and stupid and kooky for believing in the Bible, in the error-free, perfect, completed Bible, I love it. When they say I'm a wacko and a Christian fanatic, I love it. I have never gotten mad at a man who told me I was a nut. Never. In fact, I have to admit it, I am. I am the biggest conspiracy freak in the world. Oh, yes. I believe in conspiracies. I can read about them in Revelation 13 and 17. That's why I believe in them. Now, if it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. But it's there. Well, in any case, you're not going to make me mad no matter what you say about me. I would appreciate if you don't lie about me. That would be sort of nice. One guy, he hurt me more than anybody. He simply said, Tex Mars does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I said, listen, you can say I'm a nut or a kook or crazy for believing that Jesus is the Son of God. But don't say I don't believe it. Now, that guy, he played dirty pool. I mean, as we used to say, in East Texas. And it's interesting. The one thing that I've always believed the most, that Jesus is Lord. This guy said I didn't believe that. Isn't that odd? Another guy said that I preached the end of the world at the dawning of the of this millennium, 2000. And said, see, Tex Mars is a false prophet. He said the world was going to end. And, of course, that was a lie. I wasn't mad at either one of those guys. It would have been better if they didn't lie about me. You see, I cannot preach the world is going to end on a certain date. I have never preached it. I remember a little man wrote a book. I say a little man. I shouldn't call him a little man. He may have been big-hearted, but he was foolish. He wrote a book, and it became a number one Christian bestseller. It was a little booklet about 60 pages long. It was entitled 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ Will Come in 1988. And I said, I love this book because I can write a letter to this man and post-date it 1999 and tell some third party, send the letter, send the envelope to the man, wait till 1999. You know, I'll go ahead and date it today. I think it was 1986 at the time. And the letter would say, I told you the world wasn't going to end when he opened it. Because in 1986, I knew the world could not end in 1988. Let me tell you why. The Bible says, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord shall return. You can know the seasons. You can say, wow, things are close at hand. It's right at the door. And you can be correct, perhaps. But you cannot know the exact date. This man said he was an engineer, and he had all these credentials. And he had figured it out mathematically. His engineering brain. Well, I've ever told you the story. I used to work with some engineers. I was commander of a civil engineering squadron. In fact, they were all engineers. I had a degree in political science. So figure that one out while they made me commander of a civil engineering squadron. The Air Force does crazy things sometimes. This was back when I was an officer in the Air Force. And one of the engineers, you know, was the kind of guy that would laugh about himself. He was a great guy. He was one of my best friends, Michael. He had two master's degrees, graduated near the top of his class from some big engineering schools. And he had a little plaque on his wall that said, I are an engineer. And he laughed, and I used to laugh at that plaque. I are an engineer. He says, well, we engineers can't spell good, but we know numbers. Well, Mr. Wissenlot, the engineer who wrote that book, 88 Reasons, he probably couldn't spell or do his math. But friends, math doesn't do you any good if you defy the Word of God. And I can tell you authoritatively, I do not know the day when Jesus is going to come and catch us up. I don't know. I don't know when the trumpet's going to go. But I tell you one thing, even Jesus said, you look at the sky and you can see the signs of bad weather coming, of a storm arising. Likewise, you'll know the signs of the last days. Friends, I'm telling you, there is a gathering storm out there, and it's a bad one. And the wind is moving up. It's time. It's time. Now, please don't go out there and say, Jesus is coming next month. Tex Moore said so. No, I'm not saying that. Maybe he'll be merciful and let this build up to the storm last a little longer. But I'll tell you what, seems to me these are the signs and the seasons. Well, you can write to us. And if you're led by the Lord to give us a love gift donation, tithe, or an offering, we'd appreciate it. But we still want to hear from you. Now we got a song for you, and we're going to go right into our message. Oh, what a Savior. Now, to those of you who said, didn't you play that not too long ago, Tex? Yes, I did. It's been a while, but some of my favorites, I just repeat them over and over again. And you know what? Wanda finds fault with me on that. She says, isn't that about the 12th time you've heard that song? You know, I'll have a gospel album on the radio, and we're going on a trip. And she's over there taking a nap, and I'm just listening to this gospel album. Finally, she can't take anymore. And I thought she was sleeping. She wakes up and says, isn't that the 12th time you played that song? Yes, that's right, Wanda. Now you go back to sleep. She says, I can't. Please change that song. And I usually do just for her sake. I think you'll like this song by the Cathedrals. Oh, what a savior. I could listen to it 1,000 times over. None will care when you are raptured out of this planet to be with Jesus. They're not going to say, oh, I miss all those wonderful saints of God. They're going to say, I'm glad they're gone. They were pesky
terrible irritants. I'm glad they're gone. Let's have a celebration. Let's have a fun time now that the Christians are taken out of this world. But listen to what God says. He says, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. My friends, if you're taken out of this world, even if you're killed by the evil forces of this world, you will be with the Lord. Because it says in verse 2, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Friends, they don't care that you're killed. They don't even care when finally God comes to rapture us out of this earth in the midst of great tribulation. But God says, No one is able to understand. No one will consider the fact that the righteous, why are they taken away? They're taken away from the evil to come. And I'm telling you, God, after he raptures us out, will bring great, great evil on this planet. Now we're going to go to Isaiah 26:27. A lot of people say, would you give us just one best passage of Scripture to understand the rapture? Yes. Read Isaiah 26 and 27. I think that's a wonderful picture of the rapture to come. But chapter 26 of Isaiah begins with the Lord blessing his people, and they filling up the earth. Remember, that was prophesied now in Genesis. But then certain things began to occur. Here is a picture of the church in the last days. First of all, the church is praising God. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, my friends, that's what the church is supposed to do in the last days. Praise God with all of our hearts. It says here, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. My friends, we're supposed to seek God night and day and seek the will of God. So this is what the church is supposed to be doing. But listen to this. Verse 11 says, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. That means those who have rejected God, the inhabitants of the earth other than the church. Even when God lifts his hand up, they will not see. It says, verse 12 says, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hath wrought all our works in us. But then verse 13 says, O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Friends, there are those out there that are trying to foist all these false gods and doctrines and evil teachings on us, but the church says, no, none other will I have than you, Lord God. Now, we're going to get down to the rapture, verse 14. Here at the very point, when the church of God says the wicked of this earth are not obeying you, Lord, but we will still trust in you. The wicked of this earth are trying to foist and push upon us these false gods of ecumenism, but we will still continue to follow only you, O Lord. Listen to verse 14. It says, they are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Friends, the old gods are dead. The old lords, so-called, are dead. Verse 15, it says, thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hadst removed it far into all the ends of the earth. Oh, my friends, God has increased the members of the church. And all over the earth, there are those who worship the Lord God. His church is found unto the ends of the earth, it says. Verse 16, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. The chastening comes to the church, but we still worship God. Verse 17, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pains, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Verse 18, we have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Here what we see is the church saying, Lord, now we're beginning to be greatly persecuted. We're like a woman with child. We know that the time of our deliverance is near, but we're suffering great pain and sorrow. It says here, and we've tried to do good. We've tried to do good upon this earth and teach the heathen to believe in you. But it's as if we were brought forth nothing but wind. It says we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. My friends, no, there's no Christian empire here. There's no great takeover of all the nations on the earth by Christians. It says the inhabitants of the earth have not fallen. There's been no deliverance in the earth. The inhabitants still say, we don't believe in your God, Jesus Christ. We mock you. We scorn you. And they begin to persecute us. And you know what happens next? In the midst of persecution, listen close, my friends, verse 19. Listen to this. Oh, this is glorious. It says, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body, now that's Isaiah speaking, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. My friends, at that moment, the dead will come up out of their graves. Isaiah said, and my dead body too will arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. The earth cast out her dead. Do you know what it's saying there, my friends? At a time of great persecution, when the church cries out, we've not been able to bring deliverance. We've not been able to save the whole earth. We've gone to the ends of the earth preaching your word. And yet we are persecuted. And we have not been able to convince the whole world to believe in you. At that moment, the dead rise up out of their graves. That is the dead who died believing in the Lord God. And they are alive. And what happens next? Then comes the rapture of those who remain. It says in verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.